It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a fascinating show today, because every show is fascinating, in my opinion. I'm the host. But this weekend, full disclosure, there's a number of films out there that are worth checking out but have already opened. But there is one film in particular, full disclosure, I've not seen the film, but I know the source of the film, and I think if you're a longtime film sociology listener, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But the film of The Disaster Artist, based on the book about the making of The Room, opened in Indianapolis this weekend. So yes, I will be playing my epic chat with Room creator Tommy Wiseau. We'll get to that in a little bit. But ladies and gentlemen, we are in the midst, of course, of grown-up movie season, where a lot of award contenders are out there, and you can't go wrong with the likes of Lady Bird, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Last Flag Flying, Loving Vincent still in town, hopefully. Wonder, I know, is out there. Coco is probably right now the best animated film going out there. And then you got stuff like Murder on the Orient Express and, everything else is whatever. But, ladies and gentlemen, I do have a new voice that is going to be a part of film sociology, at least for starting next semester. Ladies and gentlemen, it is true. I have an intern. Stop. I can hear you from over the airwaves. Stop laughing. This is serious stuff. So, but she's going to be we've joked over the years about having the news division of film sociology, and we do have an actual film sociology correspondent, McKenna Mays. Hi, McKenna.
Hi, Matt.
she's nervous. It's like Doctor Who, only not. But anyway, she's going to be doing some interviews throughout the semester. She's a journalism student at Franklin College and a film buff. And as I found out, a fan of The Room. You are a female, and you're a fan of Tommy Wiseau's work. That's rare.
Yes.
So I guess we're going to start things off with, how did you get involved? How did The Room become a part of your life?
I think it was just one of my friends. He saw it, and he was like, oh, you have to see this. It's this crazy movie. And I watched it, and I was like, yeah, you're definitely right.
So you saw it in a house?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it in a theater?
No, never.
Oh, we need to fix that. So, I inflicted The Room upon my family. And my daughter, who's now 16, made it all the way through. Now, she was probably, I think, 10 or so when I first inflicted it on her. And she threw a blanket over her head during the three scenes we all know about. Mm-hmm. My lovely wife lasted half an hour. She finally said, what man wrote this crap, and then got up and left. Mrs. Sosi is not of the fun bad. so bad it's good, so bad it's fun kind of thing. That is not her cup of tea. So it's astounding, isn't it?
Yes, it is. it's definitely something.
So anyway, we'll be getting to my chat with Tommy Wiseau in a little bit. But first, I guess I want to ask McKenna. So what kind of films do you like, and have you watched anything new or old recently?
I think the newest movie that I've seen in theaters was Thor Ragnarok. And I think that's the last time I've been to the theater.
And what did you think?
I liked it. I'm not big on, like, superhero movies. Like, I'm not super knowledgeable about all of it. But, yeah, I enjoyed it.
And how was Kate Blanchett in the vamping department?
She was awesome. That was the best part. Best part.
See, there you go. Have you seen the other Thor films?
I've seen one of the Thor films, and I've seen the Avengers.
Okay. Yeah. Do you remember which Thor? All right. Is it the one? Is Natalie Portman in it? That's one more thing.
It's been a while. I'm not really sure.
Okay. I crack up. I still giggle at the first Thor for a couple reasons. One, I think my daughter would like it. Well, because she likes to look at Tom Hiddleston, and she likes Kenneth Branagh, who directed the first film. And what cracks me up about the first film is, you have in the fantasy world, this kind of, because it's Branagh, there is this kind of Shakespearean aspect of it, rival brothers to betrayal. Anthony Hopkins is there. Tom Hiddleston, who's worked with Branagh. So there's this, you know, kind of Shakespearean aspect to it. And then you get into what I like to call Fake Town, New Mexico, with, you know, the desert city where Natalie Portman is there. And it looks like a movie. Like they ran out of money in the budget. You know, they blew everything on the fantasy world, and they just kind of constructed this Blazing Saddles-esque town. It looks like it was just created just to be destroyed in an action film. And then at that time, I was still learning Chris Hemsworth's name, and I kept referring to him as Roided Brad Pitt. For you fans of Legends of the Fall. So what films do you like to watch? What are some of your favorites?
My favorite film is...
Not necessarily one, but I mean, if you...
Okay, well, all-time favorite film is Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Love that film.
My daughter loves you. Okay.
I love that.
Now, why?
I love Michael Cera, for one, and I just love the whole comic book aspect. I'm not necessarily a comic book person myself, but I like the whole, how they transferred it to film.
Okay.
The soundtrack is great.
Wow. So, okay. Yeah, you're going to have to meet Emma. Because it's also a favorite of hers. Yes, there are a number of films that are based on comic books or graphic novels, if you're that type. And there is a certain, and he's not afraid to say, he put in framings of it. They tried to do this with, of course, at the beginning of the show, you hear music from the Warriors, and they tried to do that in the DVD release and with mixed results. But my family went to Toronto last year, and Emma went to one of the thrift shops that is used in the film. So,
oh, really?
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. There is a, you can go, I'm sure somebody's created it online. I'm old. I'm referring to the interwebs as this giant thing. But there is a thing where you can check out the locations from Scott Pilgrim and find the thrift shops, the music store, the pizza joints, that sort of thing. And that was one of the, that, so going to one of the secondhand shops, and then, not related to Scott Pilgrim, but there was a there is a bar in Toronto called the Lockhart, named after Kenneth Branagh's character in Harry Potter, and it's a Harry Potter bar, but it's not Universal. I mean, this is an individual local place in and of itself. I found this because the In Flight magazine. Kudos to the In Flight magazine. But they had, because last year was the 150th anniversary for Canada, and they had 150 reasons why Canada was cool, and one of them was this bar. We found it. We were there for Fringe. And found the place. And this is the other thing, ladies and gentlemen. We were in Toronto, Canada, and we're at a bar, and my wife and daughter stay out on the street so I can go in and ask the bartender if my daughter can come into the bar. Thanks, state of Indiana. So anyway, the Lockhart in Toronto is really cool. So, all right. So how many times have you think you've seen Scott Pilgrim?
At least 10.
10? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And how do you know the rest of Edgar Wright's work, the director?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, we're going to work on that.
Okay.
of course, earlier this year, he made Baby Driver. Okay. Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz. So all those are worth checking out. Okay. Do you what was your first? What's the earliest film you remember watching as a kid?
I think it was The Lion King.
Okay. And how old were you? Here we go, folks. Here we go. I know you didn't see it in the original
no.
run.
No.
Because I did.
I'm guessing probably 4 or 5.
Oh, gosh. Wow. So, okay, cool. And, so what films do you like to watch? I mean, is there something like comfort food, a film that you can plop in? And yeah, it sounds like Scott Pilgrim is one of those that you can watch at any time.
Yeah, I'm really into indie movies. I go a lot based off soundtracks because I'm really into music.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, Her, for example, I think the soundtrack was done by Arcade Fire, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I took my daughter to Her.
Yeah.
So, those who know Her, okay, this is good parenting. So Emma was intrigued with the concept. I really, really wanted to see it. I think it wound up being my best film of the year, if not number two. Mm-hmm. But there is a scene in the early in the film, and it's Joaquin Phoenix in bed. Now, my daughter, I think, was 12. And yeah, you're laughing because you know. But yeah, there's a scene. Joaquin Phoenix is in bed. Now, for those, it's artificial intelligence and what happens when you have a computer that is programmed specifically for you. And in this case, the Phoenix character winds up falling in love with his Siri voice, basically, voiced by Scarlett Johansson, originally done by Samantha Morton. Anyway, Phoenix is in bed. He cannot sleep. And it's like a Bluetooth almost. You can touch your ear and you can talk to other people who are awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he does, and they start talking, and they talk more. You see where this is going, and they're talking more and more, and dad daughter day. You kind of, this is what I've learned when there are scenes like this with my daughter there. I kind of just lean on the opposite side of where she is to give her more space. And as the conversation between this woman and Joaquin Phoenix goes on, she eventually says, "Strangle me with a dead cat," which kills his buzz and absolutely destroys the tension amongst my daughter and myself. And now that's something we kind of mutter to each other when things get kind of tense. So, see, it can be a learning experience. Learning experience. So
I think we had about, in the theater we were seeing it at, we had about 4 older people who just got up and left during that scene.
During that scene?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a shame. That's a shame because they missed a really wonderful
great
film.
Great movie, yeah.
So, okay, what else have you discovered, films that you discovered because of the soundtrack? That's fascinating. I like that.
Her... Boyhood was another one. Again, I think there are a couple Arcade Fire songs in that. What else? Labyrinth, David Bowie. It's a big one for me.
Really?
Yeah.
How old were you the first time you watched it?
Oh, 7, 8. My mom, she was a big fan, and so she introduced me.
I guess I'm not going to ask about the Goblin King. I'm not. I have an idea. I'm going to guess this. You can see if I'm right or not. Here comes old guy with weird questions. Because girls could relate to the Jennifer Connelly character, and there is a certain mystique about Bowie.
Yes.
Not necessarily the Goblin King, although that, you know, it's kind of like Sting and Dune. You're like, what is that? Okay, she's giggling. That means yes. Okay, whew. Okay, so, yeah. Yeah, I was in high school when that came out, showing age. But yeah, that has an impact on a certain generation. So you and your mom watch that together?
Yes.
Awesome. Nice. What else?
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Now, have you seen that in the theater?
Yes, I've seen that at the Irving. Great. It was so much fun.
do they have the actors up front? Do they do that at there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they do.
You ever done that?
We got up. Well, if you're like a virgin to the show,
she put air quotes up, folks. It's radio.
they go around and they will mark your head with a lipstick V.
Were you marked?
I was marked because that was my first time.
How old were you the first time?
I was a freshman in college, so about 18, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then they have you go down during the time warp and do the dance.
That's not bad.
No, it wasn't too bad.
I was 15, I think, the first time I saw it. Now, this was at this time in the 80s. There was a theater in my hometown, Flint, Michigan, where they were trying to show it every week. There were theaters in the Detroit area that were showing it every week. Mm-hmm. This went until about the late 80s. And, so there was that. And we had a theater. A lot of theaters now, and I've not been to Rocky Horror at the Irving. I should, I know. But they give you a bag of props because damage control. There was a four screener, if I remember right, in Flint where you brought in everything. And we just kind of destroyed the theater because we were young and stupid. And I remember people brought in eggs. I did not. And I remember one of my friends, not me, brought in a water Uzi and filled it with chocolate syrup.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's bad. So this is why we can't have nice things. So how many times have you seen Rocky?
At the Irving?
Or just in general?
Just in general, like a handful of times, 5-6.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's cool. There was a great, and this kind of, it goes back to the room a little bit. There was a great piece in The Onion, the AV Club, that talked about the day the Midnight movie died was when Rocky Horror was available on home video. Because it takes a certain something to go see a movie at midnight. And you can't watch just anything at midnight. It's got to be you have to be very passionate about it, or at least willing. Now with computers, and you can watch anything anytime. And over the years, films have tried to give the midnight movie feel. An example of how it probably didn't work with Snakes on a Plane. You can't make an online phenomenon. It just has to happen. But The Room, it has that Rocky Horror vibe. And that's about as close as we've come since the Rocky Horror Picture Show of something that has such a strong following, audience participation, and it's still a work in progress. I think I'd love to find out about the history of riffing from Rocky Horror. You didn't just magically write this stuff. It happens. And I've seen The Room live probably half a dozen times, and some riffs go away, some you're still working on. It's fun when you think you've created a riff and you hear somebody else do it in that you don't even know them, so that's kind of cool. Anyway, so cool. McKenna's going to be a part of film sociology this semester, so we're gonna do some more talking. She's gonna do some more interviews. She's gonna do some interviews because she needs audio. It's this part of why she's here, and she needs to graduate. So anyway, we'll get to Tommy Wiseau in just a little bit, but I do want to mention a few things that are open that are going around town. If you head down to IU in Bloomington, again, this depends on when you're listening to this show. If you're listening on Saturday, good for you. If you're listening on Sunday and Monday, especially Monday, okay. So Saturday night at 7:00 at IU Cinema is the International Art House series, a film that's going to be talked about a lot if it's not already. The comedy drama The Square. On Sunday the 10th, Red Grooms, Sunflower in a Hot House, Fat Feet and Tappy Toes, all experimental films, art, and a movie from at 3:00. The Square is played again at 6:30 on Sunday the 10th. Monday the 11th, the Crimson Film Festival 2017, a shorts program. Tuesday the 12th, the Fall 2017 Student Films Showcase, starting at 7:00. Wednesday the 13th and Thursday the 14th, this is cool, is the part of the International Art House series, the 1968 concert documentary Monterey Pop. Thursday, and then they got the semester off, and then they come back Thursday, January 4th with The Killing of a Sacred Deer. Over at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin, at 7:30 p.m. Saturday night, White Christmas, and are also showing it Sunday the 10th at 2 p.m., you've seen White Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
You like?
Of course, yes.
Are there Christmas films you have to watch every Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Definitely A Christmas Story. That's on the 24-hour loop when that happens.
Yes, I know. Not a fan. Go
Not
on.
Not a fan.
I think I was 13 when I saw it, and then I watched it again, and I kind of decided, yeah, you're going to shoot your eye out. And the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, what I've learned, and you'll, is if you think this film is overrated, the rabid fan base thinks you hate cinema and America as we know it. So, sorry. Anyway, continue.
I think we always play A Year Without a Santa Claus when we're decorating the tree.
Rankin and Bass, good.
Yeah, love that one. And Grinch's Jim Carrey one and the original animated one.
Really? Okay. So, White Christmas, and then the 15th, 16th, and 17th at the Art Craft Theater. You have, yes, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, so you can see Chevy Chase getting all verklempt. Anyway, that is at the Art Craft Theater. Briefly on DVD and Blu-ray, somebody asked for Despicable Me 3. I don't know who did, but they did. And American Assassin, those are out there right now. All right. McKenna Mays is hanging out with me here at Film Sociology. As I mentioned, there's plenty of films out there that are worth checking out that are probably going to be near the top of my top 10 list, or at least in the honorable mention. Films like Lady Bird, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Last Flag Flying, Loving Vincent. So all of those are out there. And yeah, the latest Thor film is still out there. You can check that out on the big screen. Also, opening in theaters this weekend, The Disaster Artist, a film about the making of The Room, and I always refer, it's directed by and starring performance artist James Franco, because he's more than just an actor. He does all sorts of things. So, ladies and gentlemen, as I say many times, I play this interview at least twice a year. If Terry Gross over at Fresh Air can replay archive interviews involving Mad Men, Breaking Bad, The Wire, and you know, the ones, then she kind of replays them more than once, I feel like I should be able to do it with this. This was originally a 20-minute interview that went for 30, and the key, if you've ever watched Tommy Wiseau in interviews, and you can see them now, he's doing the circuit for The Disaster Artist, I treated it like any other interview. Didn't try to peek behind the curtain. Didn't try, because I knew which questions not to ask of Mr. Wiseau. So anyway, McKenna, get ready. Take notes. This is going to change things. Ladies and gentlemen, my classic epic chat with Tommy Wiseau. Enjoy. Joining me on Film Sociology is auteur, because you are a man of many skills, Tommy Wiseau. How are you, Tommy?
Hi, how you doing, Moss? You?
Doing great. Now, this is going to be your second appearance, if I remember correctly, at IU for The Room. How was it the last time you were in town?
Oh, we have such a groovy time that they decided to invite us again, and I'm thrilled. And first of all, I'd like to say thank you to all the fans there, and hopefully we'll have a groovy time, and everybody's invited.
Well, we will be there as best we can.
Sure.
So, how did you get interested in cinema?
Well, that was a long time ago, believe it or not.
Are you okay?
I am okay. My phone is ringing right now. I apologize.
That's okay. I thought it was a submarine for just a minute.
No problem. You have a great sense of humor. I like that.
Thank you.
To respond to your question, you know, I used to want to sing, believe it or not. And some people actually, I can sing, but never mind about that. Film has always been and was in my heart, you know, was in the sense and always would be, you know, because image, you know, people remember, etc. Through all these years, I studied psychology, and this relate to, you know, to how you can connect to people. It's a lot of stuff. We probably don't have the time, but just to briefly to tell you, my first movie actually was The Robbery Doesn't Pay. It's just a short movie I did for class, and I can tell you one thing. I got that A-. You know why it's minus?
Why is that?
Because I use a black and white and colors, and a lot of people ask me why you use these colors. Like, why is not only one color? And I said, you know what? The reason for it is because of the you know, I wanted people to provoke people. And you see, The Room, it's the same thing. If you really translate my vision a long time ago about movies, what I see now. And again, I have a great respect for, this is just a little off from your question, but for everyone who produced the movie, because, you know, it is what it is. It's very difficult. art, what you make a big effort, and it's, I always say you have to be detail oriented to accomplish something. And as you probably guys know, that some people already know, it's a lot misleading about the room of a production, etc., online. And hopefully, people are in a few days that will ask me direct questions if they will attend the screening. So move on, next question.
Okay, well, I would say to jump on what you said, yeah, regardless of what people think about whether something is good or something is bad, making a movie is really damn hard. And the fact that you know, not only wrote and directed and acted, especially in the case with The Room, I mean, it is a task to organize and get everything that, not only from a technical aspect of getting everything that you need, you know, but making sure everything is smooth on the set. How are you on the set when it comes to a director? What kind of atmosphere do you have?
I love a set, you know, but if you're, you know, I always say the set is my house, actually, the theater. I mean, if you refer to The Room, supposed to be a play. I don't know if you know that. I don't want to repeat myself because it'll be boring, but just really very quickly background of The Room. Supposed to be played first, and then I decided to, you know, write a script, etc., because of my 600 pages novel, which hopefully somebody want to publish right now, but we're working on it.
It's a 600-page novel this is based on?
Correct.
Wow.
And that was, keep in mind, again, since I'm talking to you, like I say, we don't have too much time, but very quickly, see, people don't realize this, nothing happened by accident, you know, like people say, oh, this accident, that accident. For example, I'm talking as the director right now, I can create a certain ambience and I can anticipate something, but I have to plan. Without planning, you don't have it. And I don't care what you, if you, for example, does lead me to, again, to your first question about production. You know, if I don't care if you do 5 minutes movie or a feature movie, guess what? Irony of a story is, for all of you guys to listen now, right now, that is the same thing. The difference is you spend more money, or you make it, you know, you involve more people, but you need the beginning, you need the middle, you need the end. I rest my case. But The Room is based on a 600 novel, over actually 600. So people will be surprised. And I noticed, I don't know, Matthew, if you noticed, in the past few years, people actually grasp what was creating. And again, I'm thrilled to say that I'm happy with the fans and great support. And you know, sometimes we do have a bad apple, but you know what? I just accept whatever people you know, have comments about The Room. And again, I don't always say you have to. Actually, my motto is that if a lot of people love each other, the world will be a better place to live. By this talk and from The Room, you see, it doesn't matter that. You don't have to write like The Room. And I want to stress that, because a lot of people think that, oh yeah, you don't. You see, that's the difference between me as a director, as an actor, you as the audience as well, the listener, that you have choice. And that's what The Room is. And I think maybe that's the reason. I didn't conclude it 100%, Matthew, but I'll tell you one thing, that maybe that's the reason is that we have great support right now with people because they do see my vision and directly, you know. Mm-hmm. Either they'll, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I don't like this. Well, that's fine. It's nothing wrong. Same with me, you know. If I, for example, see some movie, which don't even ask me for a name. I may drop a couple of names, maybe.
Okay.
But if I see a movie, it doesn't mean that I have to like all of it. I may, you know, like just a segment of it, etc. Move on, next question.
Will is the book published or will it be published?
No. Right now, currently, actually, I'm working with one publisher, very big guy, actually, one of the biggest publisher company. I don't know what will happen. It's up to them, you know. Again, I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to bashing anyone. That's not my motto, you know.
Okay. Yes.
I was beat up, you know. People beat me up many times. But true fans of The Room, like in your school, you know, I'm like, I love you guys. Let me tell you this way, you know. Ready for pictures, and we'll have a groovy time. Move on, next question.
Where did the source for the inspiration for the room begin? Hopefully it's not autobiographical.
Well, let me tell you, this is from life. You see, we all have, I don't know, you have opportunity to see several times the movie or not, but mm-hmm. the fact is that it's from life, relationships, you know, drugs issues. Just recently, I believe on CNN, I have an interview with Greg, and I say very publicly, I would say right now too, you know, between 12 and 2 in America, you have number of crime committed is very high. You may laugh with my statement, but guess what? I studied this, mm-hmm. and this is the statistically speaking. Okay, now mostly people see the room in America midnight. So I rest my case. You may say, well, maybe yes, maybe not. But I say to you, yes, it does eliminate indirectly crime. Besides this, as you probably know, and your young audience know about it, that we do not have, and I'm very strongly about it, and I think this is message maybe for, I'm not a politician yet, but this is message for mayors of the cities, you know, across the country. You guys give young people places to express themselves, parks, trees, play footballs, you know. We don't have these places anymore. I'm trying from north to south, from south to east, or whatever name it. It's the same issue, the same problem, you know, and it's not right, you know, because I think young person, even older person, and we all have certain tendency to express ourselves emotionally through playing football or just whatever you want to do, you know, and we don't have this kind of places, you know, mm-hmm. and that's why, you know, people are sometimes doing drastic things, and that's the gray area. What I think people should realize about the room, and I am very strongly about it, and I'm surprised the big media does not pick up this, you know, because it's true. This is the story. And move on, next question. So
no, it's all right.
I'm
it's
just
cool.
Give you a little speech here.
No, it's okay. Nobody wants to hear me talk. They want to hear you.
No, I want to talk too. Just jump in anytime.
Well,
Tommy, it's enough now.
Well, say
okay, 10 more minutes. All right, move on. Next question.
Were you jilted by a woman like this in the film?
Well, let me tell you, I've been in a relationship. I will not say I was not.
Okay.
Like I will tell you very honestly, two is better than three, but three is crowd. However, you can have three friends.
Yes.
And I will tell you one thing, that there's nothing wrong when Johnny in the movie, you know, say to Danny, it's okay to love somebody else. But the same time, it's process of learning how far you can go as a person. Mm-hmm. How far you can go, do you have to actually do something physically, or you just to say, look, I love you, man, or I love you to a girl or guy. It doesn't matter. You see, that's what the beauty in a relationship, that we understand and have respect, and how tempting it is. I've been in many situations, I don't know you guys, but we all been there, that's tempting to be very close to someone. You know, or you have certain opportunity, but then you pay for it, you know, by breaking relationships or a relationship. I believe very strongly that we've all been there. If not, I say many times that the room is a red flag. Wait a minute. Why should you do when you later on you will regret it? Mm-hmm. And I don't care how strong you are, how much money you have, that's irrelevant. You know, bottom line is, you know what? Feelings you cannot buy it, Matthew. And that's the irony in the room.
Well, I say you have people, you have now hundreds and thousands of people loving you with these screenings. You talk about a place for kids to go. When you have these screenings on campus and in theaters, you know, people have said that you single-handedly brought back the Midnight movie and the cult movie.
Right.
Well, not too much pressure, I hope.
No, I love Pavling, and I always will. The fans, that's a priority for me, you know. So it's pressure, little pressures there, but I like it.
Now, I know right after The Room, you did the documentary, you co-directed the documentary Homeless in America, is that right?
Correct, yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know a lot of people know The Room, but you have done other things since.
Yeah, sure, yeah. The Homeless in America is a totally different topic, as you probably know about it since you asked, is dealing with the homelessness in America. And again, you see, long story short, you cannot eliminate homelessness. And now, since you mentioned this topic, it is what it is. As you know, in America, because of the economy, actually I'm working on a new movie about relate to economy, and it's relate also to indirectly to homelessness. So again, this is the gray area, what people don't realize. And again, you see, some people say, oh, you know what, we can eliminate homelessness. Well, I have not for you all your expert, you know, from politician to media. No, you cannot eliminate homelessness. If you look at a long time ago, let's say 200, 300 years ago, not this country, but other countries, you already have a homeless indirectly. But it was not recognized the way we recognize. But the good news is that if we learn about it, we will not have in America, which is, you know what, Matthew, it's really hurt my feelings that I see this, people actually, you know, lay down on the street in America, underneath the bridges. You know, it's sad. It is very eerie situation, but the good news is that we have a lot of dedicated people, and I wish, you know, I probably do another documentary. Like, I want to expose all the people actually doing good things for homelessness, people who never been recognized for their hard work without, you know, to help these people, because it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And again, you see, I'm across America, I see this, you know, I just come back from Houston, the same thing. People say, oh, we don't have a homeless. Well, I'm sorry, you do have, you know. Mm-hmm. But the good news, again, is that we can eliminate, we can help these people. And that's what I come from, you know. Homeless was, did this movie just to find out the truth, not because somebody told me. And what I discovered was pretty eerie, if you ask me. But the good news is we can improve with optimism and good spirit in America. Move on, next question.
What's the status on The House That Drips Blood on Alex?
Well, first of all, I was hired as an actor. Let me stress that. As well as only as an actor. Okay, I did not direct. They direct. That was Comedy Central. They air it on TV and they put it online. And, you know, they supposed to do second episode, I don't know, was pretty excited project. Was paid job, of course.
Yes.
And, you know, it was good experience. They could do better, but, you see, it's not me to judge. You know, some people like it, some people don't.
Well, I think what's been great is that you've been able to go from, you know, you did and I mean this as a compliment.
No problem.
I think the term melodrama gets a bad connotation, and so to go from a melodrama to documentary to horror, I mean, and just even you know, you're just acting in that, you're able to go from one genre to another.
Well, I think that's a compliment. If you ask me, you don't have to apologize, but you see, I don't call, and again, this is your statement, melodrama. You may argue that The Room partially is melodrama based on the talking, if you analyze Johnny's character. Mm-hmm. I agree, you got me on that one. But at the same time, the reason we call black comedy, again, people don't realize black comedy leading towards melodrama.
Right.
Melodrama, as you probably know, defined melodrama is based... it's more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So you much more dramatic approach. But I don't know a story again. I will say very openly that I have some friends that they are really melodramatic, if you ask me.
We all do, Tommy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, this is based on my research, okay? Mm-hmm. And I will say, you know, that hopefully we have more discussion like that about with the stance as well with you guys with media, because Matthew, you're part of the media one way or the other.
Yep.
And then, you know, actually I'd like to have a program, you know, if you guys can organize it while there, we can have big discussion, you know, so it's up to you guys. But anyway, move on. Next question.
You talk about dark comedies, black comedies. What are some of your favorites?
What do you mean?
Are there other dark comedies like Dr. Strangelove or Harold and Maude that inspired you?
Well, you see, again, I inspire myself, but however, yeah, good point. I like, for example, if you look at not so much comedy or, you know, to me, comedy, let's put it this way, comedy, drama, melodrama, black comedy, whatever you define, I define as the colors. Colors means the more colors you have within your project, in this case, The Room or other movies, even include The Homeless in America, as you mentioned, you will not just to provoke people, but it will be interesting to see your project or movie, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, some people say, oh, this is short, this is long, whatever. But the colors for me is very important. Now, to respond to your question, I influence myself, however, I'm fan of, for example, Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes.
Because, again, this is the manipulation of woman aspect in life if you compare it to Juliet in The Room. Now, Orson Welles, for example, Citizen Kane, Giants with James Dean and others. Why these people we watching, by my research, a lot of people watching from time to time, what is the reason? What is behind? Or as my case, The Room, we can say the same thing. What is behind? Is it that bad because it's good, or is it good, is it bad? Well, as you know, Matthew, bad is expression, also it's good.
Mm-hmm.
In slang in America, as you know.
Yes.
If you have two guys walking and they are close friends, they will not say, oh, this is great movie. They say, oh, this is so bad, you have to see it. And again, people, I don't understand, but, you know, some of the stuff, you know, I'm just laughing because it's laughable, to be honest with you. But the bottom line is people enjoy this film, and that's the bottom line. And we have a really great discussion like we have right now. So we have 10 more minutes. Move on, next question.
Okay. I would say, besides the documentary about the economy, is there any scripts or feature films that you have planned?
Yes, absolutely. I'm working on vampire movie as well as Alex Blood, Vampire the Alex, as well. There will be continuous what we did with Comedy Central, but slightly different angle. As well as I'm working currently, I'm shooting The Neighbors. We are casting currently, actually today, believe it or not. So I'm working very hard to entertain people. Hopefully people have a groovy time.
I'm saying, how far is, what do you think will happen next? Which one do you think will come, or is it, you know, whatever comes to you first?
Well, The Neighbors actually will be available within probably 2 months. We're doing 5 episodes. And The Economy will release before June. At Vampire, I'm working. But at the same time, I don't know if you're aware, but we'll be releasing Blu-ray of The Room. And that'll be before Christmas. As well as, I'm working also on the 3D movie as well, 3D of The Room.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm doing the testing almost as we speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we did some of it because we are, I don't know if you want to hear more about it, but just one sentence about it. We are scanning from 35 millimeter print.
Right.
I'm referring to 3D of The Room.
Mm-hmm.
The Room with in 3D.
So the love, we're going to get even closer to the love scenes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
So we're going to get even closer to you guys during the love scenes.
I think so.
as a director, what do you what's some of the things that you do to help out actors? I know you had a fairly young cast on The Room, but how do you approach actors from a directing standpoint? And how do you direct yourself?
Well, directing is very tough. You see, so again, I have a system of if you refer to the room, I had a system, and now I have a system as well. That you know, I'm doing ratio 1-4, and basically I believe in a rehearsal process. In the room, we have like 6 months rehearsal before we shot the room. But I don't know what the story is, but I did change the actors several times, as well the crew was changed 4 times. So a lot of actors, there's only 1-2 person who actually been with me for a long time, what you see on the big screen. But to respond to your question, I'm a very detail-oriented person, if I may say that. Yes, of course I can say that.
You just did.
but at the same time, not self-centered. Let me say that too. So my system is pretty straightforward, which I can share with you if you want to hear.
Please.
Well, you record yourself and you watch yourself, and then you try to adjust base what you see. And I believe in adjustment, you see, at the same time, but you have to, one of the gray areas, you have to eliminate your subjective approach. So you go base as a director, I say, what is the character saying, what he or she is doing, what's the situation? So it's the last obstacle come to your brain, and you have to divide it. You cannot combine together because then you get lost. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see yourself, then you record again and say, okay, I like this scene. No, I have to improve that, okay? And when you are good actors, by the way, I never say on the records that actors are good or bad. What I'm saying, sometimes they don't give us certain, they're not sharing this. They're not giving enough. What I mean by that, they're missing the colors. Because any actors could be very, the best of the best. And that's why the reference to actors, some people sometimes ask me and say, can you cast this particular person because he or she make $20 million? I say, absolutely not. Because I already know that they cannot offer what I think I'm looking for. So for all of you, for all your listeners, it's not... You have to be popular, acting is sharing. That's basically my definition of good acting, if I can say good acting. But I try not to divide it good and bad as an actor because I'm not a critic. I'm just going by provocation. My job as a director to provoke people positive ways if I can. So if I do that, I do a good job as far as in my hands, in my eyes. Now, again, about the system, so that's basically when I shot the room, I recorded this VHS tape. And by the way, I'm still writing the book about it, the difference between the HD and 35, because we use both cameras. I know it's laughable a little bit, but you know what? The way I see it this way, the simplicity is virtue of success. What I mean by that is very interesting. Even today, after all these years, I still cannot find there's something where people say, okay, this is the HD, this is 35, this is the difference. That's the money what you spend on 35, that's what you spend on HD. I still don't have that. And this is the thing what I said on DVD very openly, that Hollywood was confused. And I was confused myself. And people literally say, oh, he didn't know what he was doing. Again, guys, some of you guys listening to this, you're incorrect. Please ask the question. I'll be glad to explain you what I meant by that, okay? But today, what we do, like we'll be doing, for example, The Neighbors, because I'm playing one of a Charlie character, I'll be recording myself and just watch it and analyze, okay, that's what I want. That's not what I don't want. But I have also assistant as well. So I work with 2 or 3 assistants. In the room, I have like 4 different assistants. So I say, you guys watch this, you give me feedback, you know what I'm saying? So it's very hard work if you refer to directing, acting as well. It's not easy job, but it's very, I love it, you know, I like it.
I say, tell a little bit, for those who don't know what The Neighbors is, why don't you refresh them?
Yeah, let me clarify. The Neighbors, it's a sitcom, it's TV pilot. It's, again, you see, I like variety. So we go from homeless to the room, from vampire to The Neighbors. Matthew, you are good.
Thank you.
I know how we sound, how they will listen to your audiences. But The Neighbors is dealing with, again, relationship. It's a character, Charlie. You can go to the room. It's theneighborsitcom.com, and you see the synopsis as well, the characters that we are currently working on right now as we speak. Yes.
Well, I say, you mentioned earlier about singing. Any plans maybe doing a musical somewhere down the line?
Actually, you know what? We actually working on the remix of their words from the lyrics from the script, and you probably hear something probably because we're working currently. Last year we did some stuff that we never published. So soon you can hear something.
I say, like you said, from stage to movies to documentaries to television, you're never bored.
No, I like variety, if you ask me. So we have two more questions. I'm sorry I have to go.
Oh, no, that's okay. I would say, has there been any movies out recently that you've been able to watch and enjoy recently?
Yes, but I will not tell you because then people are blogging about it. But I will tell you one thing. I give you one clue.
All right.
See, I make a laugh on you.
Okay.
That's great. I tell you one is dealing with started in S, like a social. I am not telling you the name.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, all right. Boy, you keep us hanging.
It was very easy to find out. Come on. You know about it.
Yes, yes. I say, how was it working with Tim and Eric?
That was pretty good, yeah. They're very nice people to work and very given, but sometimes we're not on the same page, but I've been working with them for four times. Let's see, one, two, three, four times, yes. And they're a very given person and people, you know. They're very creative. That's what the entertainment is about, creation.
Tommy, thank you so much for your time. I can't wait to see you in Bloomington on Tuesday. I'll get in touch with John, and hopefully we can meet up before or afterwards.
Yeah, no problem. And also, if you need any images, whatever, let us know, and thank you.
Thank you, Tommy. Take care.
No problem. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. There you go. My epic chat with the room auteur, Tommy Wiseau. Playing that, not just to share it with McKenna, because, well, that's educational in its own part. But yes, of course, The Disaster Artist opens this weekend. Well, what did you learn from that?
I think you took a really good approach to it, actually. Because in a lot of interviews, you'll see people ask those questions that he doesn't like to answer, like where he gets his money from, where he's from. And I think that puts him off and they don't get like the true Tommy Wiseau experience.
Truth. Well, it was supposed to be 20 minutes and became 30.
Yes.
And then I had 10 minutes twice and then the phone going. So, ladies and gentlemen, if anything else, and by the way, I'm going to try to not do intern evaluations during the show, but it might. But this is lightning in a bottle, one time, one place. If I don't know if I can or want to interview Tommy Wiseau again, because it's not going to be like that. If I interviewed him a week later, a week earlier, I remember it was snowing so bad in Indy that they were dismissing staff here at the station, except for those that had to be on the air, and I was not going to leave. So anyway, yeah, I've read horror stories and I've read interviews where there's a famous one that he did with the AV Club in which he referred to the interviewer as something that rhymes with a trick. So we'll just kind of leave it at that there. So yeah, there's a lot to decipher there. There's a lot to sift out. So there's a lot of what to do and what not to do. And even on my part as well. I tend to make fun of reporters that say, tell me about, instead of actually asking a question. That's more of a command, but I did that. But yeah, that's, there you go. So, all right, move on, next question. And that was the other thing was, when you know, because you are allotted an amount of time, you got to hit them with the next question right away. That way, like you said, so they don't drift and they don't get bored or whatever. So anyway, The Disaster Artist opening this weekend. Go online and find out what theaters they are being that they're showing it at. So the other thing I will share with McKenna, because she's my guest and you'll hear her on the show quite a bit, is I try to collect show IDs whenever possible. And, well, Tommy gave me two. Let's try this.
Hey, everyone. This is Tommy Wiseau, and you're listening now to Film Sociology at the WFYI Indianapolis. Hey, everyone.
There's that, and then there was this. Joining me on Film Sociology that's the interview. I already shared that. See, now you're learning what not to do technically. Here we go.
Hi, you're listening to Film Sociology, WFYI, Indianapolis. Have a groovy time. Listen it. Hi, you're listening.
Yeah, except for he forgot to say who he was. So I had him do it again. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So as you heard at the very beginning and at the very end, yes, I have schmoozing skills, but this was being screened at IU. So my guess is he thought I was the Indiana University radio station. That's all right. But I remember seeing this in a full house. There was a full theater. I know I was the oldest one by far, by a couple decades. Went with, of course, film sociology alumni Kobe Slagle, because he had just been out of school for a couple of years there. And somebody brought a football and we threw that around the theater. Actually caught one and made a decent pass, so that was good. But there was the student television station, student news crew was down there, and they recognized me, which was kind of frightening. And they came up and they loved the film show and would I talk about this. And I did the Rocky Horror comparison because I'm historical. That means old. So anyway, The Disaster Artist opening this weekend. So, McKenna, are there any other films you're looking forward to this season? And then when do you think you'll see The Disaster Artist?
I'm hoping to make time this weekend to see it. But as far as other movies that have come out, I really want to see Lady Bird. I've heard great things about that.
Yeah, are you familiar? Yeah, you've seen some other Greta Gerwig films with Noah Baumbach?
Yeah.
She does a really good Noah Baumbach impression as a writer and a director. And that's a compliment. That's it's very, very good. And you got finals next week, or is it 2 weeks?
It's next week.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
You gonna treat yourself okay?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the most number of exams you have in one day?
I actually don't have any this semester because I'm interning over at the State House.
Ah.
But in the past, I've had 3-4 on one day.
Okay, don't do that.
Don't do that.
And, well, you deal with the State House. That's enough. Between the State House, that's more than enough. So, all right. Well, McKenna, welcome aboard Film Sociology. And, as I said, you'll be hearing from her a lot next semester.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan. Thank you.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!